And here we are talking with the guy that I have enjoyed talking with for so long, and we co-hosted the show way back when in the 90s, Taylor and Todd in the Mornings, and people ask me about him all the time, and so I'm just really thrilled to have him here to talk with me, and that is my buddy Adam Taylor. Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
How you doing, Ben?
Bueno.
You
good
know?
Morning, or good afternoon, or I don't even know what time of day it is. Yeah. Good to talk to you, man.
Well, you know, you and I have talked so many times. What's funny is when you and I sit around talking, your wife will say it sounds like we just slip right back into the old habits. It's like it's listening to the radio all over again and the Taylor and Todd show.
Yeah, anybody sitting near us is like, boy, you guys do a good radio show together. And you're like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Been there, done that. Yeah, and you know, and I can't believe that I'm back on the radio in Charleston, and it's just it's strangely familiar yet totally foreign, and it's brought back so many great memories, and so many people have asked me so many questions about the old days and stuff and what's going on nowadays, and that's the question I get more. What is Adam Taylor up to? So now you can tell us, what is Adam Taylor up to these days?
Still 6'2", maybe 6'2" and a half. I don't know. I don't think I'm shrinking yet, though. I think at some point you get really old and you shrink. Right? Isn't like Bill Russell is like 6'3" now, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is like, you know, 6'7". So, I'm in St. Augustine, Florida, the nation's oldest city, if you conveniently ignore a couple of thousand years of Native American history. And
but you do have a very nice house in St. Augustine Beach, Florida, with a pool in the backyard, and I will be back visiting soon with my son. So,
oh, absolutely, yeah. And hey, I was just in the pool today. Gorgeous. It's lovely. I'm helping kids do better on tests, doing the test prep company. I also down here, you know, we have the original Ripley's Believe It or Not. So I've been part of the Ripley's family for a while. And I did for years. I was sort of back in radio because I was the host of the Ripley's Believe It or Not worldwide radio oddcast.
Oh, wow. So, the oddcast.
Yeah, if you think you've interviewed freaks, no. I've interviewed all of the freaks. I interviewed the guy that had the world's record for balancing a couch on his face. I interviewed...
What's the record, by the way? What's the record?
I don't know. Usually, it's a lot. My first question is usually, why? And then the second question is usually, does your mother know you do these kinds of things? Lizard Man, frequent guest on the Ripley Radio Show, so... but that was, you know, that was all fun and games, and I still do ghost tours. You did that, remember?
That's the thing, here you are doing the oddcast, and of course now you're on a Toddcast, so you've got it kind of all covered now, but, you know, and that radio stuff is still in your blood, and it doesn't really ever get out. And I remember coming down there and going on a ghost tour, and one of the Little Red Train tours around St. Augustine, which is such a great city. It really is a great place. Yeah, I know you love living there. And... just riding in the train and going on the ghost tour and listening to someone who's presenting it, which was you, and like, this guy is like, this could be a radio guy. This is a guy who like really knows what he's doing. And it was such a treat and a pleasure to have you doing that stuff. And I just enjoyed it. And so did my son and my friends. And they were like, this is great.
Well, it's funny. I have a nom de plume, kind of like Mitt Romney on the ghost tours. And so one guy came up to me afterwards and he goes, oh my God, you sound just like this guy that used to be on the radio in Charleston. I said, oh, who? He goes, Adam Taylor. I go, never heard of him. Is that a compliment? He goes, yeah, yeah. I go, okay, great. He had no clue.
But that's, you know, you do still kind of have it in your blood. I know you're kind of tinkering around a little bit with, you know, filling in, doing some radio stuff there in Northern Florida, aren't you?
Yeah, there was a stretch where there's a news talk station, kind of like, you know, what your gig used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I would sit in on that occasionally. And I also, a friend of mine, once he found out I used to do radio, now suddenly I'm sitting in on his radio show on WFCF, which is the Flagler College station. So he does like a Good Morning Americana show on Saturday mornings and a Friday night rock show. Other than the critic, he's got the best specialty shows on the planet. So I'm always honored to sit in for him. So every once in a while, you'll hear me on the air in St. Augustine.
Well, I always thought you sounded great on the radio, even before I was fortunate enough to be invited to join you to do the morning show. Just that you it was just it was just something that was easily listenable anytime that you were talking, and that still rings true when you're doing the things you're doing now in Northern Florida. And can you believe that I got sucked back into radio, man, and I'm working with The Critic again? Isn't that crazy?
It is. It feels like I should join you. You know, it feels weird.
Yes, it does.
Todd's got a show. Critic's got a show. I don't. It's funny, though, when I think about the old days, every once in a while I'll have a conversation with somebody, and it comes up, and so they ask me to tell them some radio stories. And I'm like, look, think about the show that we had. Our news person was Nancy O'Dell.
I know. And you right? know, and she's available now that she's done with Entertainment Tonight after she took over from Mary Hart. I wonder if Nancy would like to come back and slum with me here or whatever. But yeah, we had Nancy O'Dell.
There you go. And we used to regularly pal around with Jim Kelly, quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, when he would have us take part in his charity tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
We had all these artists. David Lloyd from ESPN was our sports guy, followed by Mark Morgan, who was on ESPN and CNN for years.
And remember how Kevin Kenney would come and hang out with us in the studio? It's funny because I had a conversation with Uncle Miles, and we were talking about, how the guys in Hootie and stuff would be playing small bars or whatever. But then Edwin McCain sitting in the lobby of 96 Wave with his guitar, hoping someone would discover him or listen to him or pay any attention to him at all.
Right. So, yeah, I'll hear songs on the radio or I'll see people on TV and I'll go, oh, I was watching, what the heck was it? It was Ben Mankiewicz.
Yeah.
Mankiewicz, he's hosting like these old movies on A&E or something. Like, I remember Ben was our guy in Charleston. So it's so funny. And people look at me like, no way. They just don't believe that ever happened. I'm like, okay, I know it did.
Well, you know, I mean, you talk to anybody. The 90s was the best decade in Charleston. It just was a great, great time to be here. And the funny thing is that now it's the 25th anniversary of a couple of seminal events that occurred while we were doing the morning show together. And the one that, instantly jumps to me is the petition for beer and wine in Charleston County. 25 years later, you're welcome.
Yes. And that was a strange time, and we had so many people angry at us simply because we wanted somebody to be able to walk into a grocery store and get beer like they could every other day of the week, but suddenly you couldn't on Sunday. And I think it ended up being overwhelmingly passed, right?
The funny thing is that our hook was the fact that it wasn't that we wanted it to pass, even though we did. It was because we just wanted to give people the chance to vote on it, because it was so stupid that you had these Sunday blue laws that you could go into a store and that one section had the lights off or a chain link fence in front of it or a broom handle in the door so you couldn't open it. And we're like, you can buy beer on Saturday and you can drink beer on Sunday. Why can't you buy it on Sunday? And so we just, after it was Governor Carol Campbell at the time who said that any county that already allowed the Sunday liquor sales in restaurants could then have a referendum if a local citizen, ours was The Critic, a local citizen, got enough signatures of registered voters. So we just went out and haphazardly just started getting anybody and everybody to sign the petition, and we had to do it over again.
I think, the first time around, we didn't do it properly. I think we just didn't have all Charleston County signers, and then we ended up having to redo the whole process. But I think it gave birth to some great parody songs.
Oh,
and,
my Lord.
All our appearances on all the TV shows.
Well, you remember how funny it was. We'd go out with the petition for beer and wine, and then have some Yahoo would show up and, I want to sign that beer petition. And we're like, great, great. You live in Charleston County? Yeah, I live in Somerville. I can't wait for this thing to pass. Like, you don't know. Somerville's not Charleston County. And so we ended up getting all these thousands of signatures that we had to throw away because they had to be registered voters in Charleston County. So then we come back. Remember, we went to some beverage company here in town and sat with their lawyers because we were actually amending the Constitution. And then we had to put that writing there. And then we had to be very strict about who signed it and if they were registered. So we ended up getting 5,160 signatures, over 3,000 people registered to vote, and it passed with 69% of the vote. So,
nice.
That's overwhelming. And not only that, but then the Department of Revenue, after it passed, it was supposed to be the first Sunday in January, and they wanted to get their hands on the money so bad that it was the first Sunday in December. And then you and me and the critic went to the store and did the ceremonial first purchase.
Right. I think it was the Harris Teeter in Mount Pleasant.
Yes.
And the receipt, I have the receipt
somewhere.
No,
you don't.
Yes. We bought Palmetto beer, bought the Palmetto Pale Ale or whatever it was, and it was at 12:01 a.m.
God, you still have that receipt. And remember, we were there when the Palmetto Brewing Company poured its first ever beer, and we're sampling that. And, you know, and here are all these beverage companies and brewing companies and whatever, and they make hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars off that law change, and we got a case of beer.
I think so. That's all we got.
You know, somebody runs some beverage company, and they're sitting on a yacht in Charleston Harbor like, well, sure, I'm glad that law passed, but I was Yahoo's on the radio, and we're like, you got a case of beer. So.
We sure love those Taylor and Todd boys for passing this law, yeah.
Can you believe it's been 25 years that happened, and, you know, other counties followed suit, but there's still blue laws in South Carolina in some places. So that's one of the most proudest things I've ever been associated with in radio, honestly.
Yeah, it was fun to do, and I think it just made people more aware of how idiotic certain laws can be, how ridiculous politicians can be, and how you can make a difference, even a small way, a little civics lesson for some kids.
Yeah, I mean, it was just great taking the petition everywhere and getting people registered to vote, and then the parody song Local Question Number One that we did.
Right.
What was it? What was the song we covered? What was that?
Love Potion Number 9.
Love Potion Number 9. and you know, and it's funny because now that I'm back with the critic, we've been walking down memory lane on some of the parody songs that we did back there. And I walked into the other day and I said, "Hey, critic, tell me if this brings back any memories." And I go, "All I can do is urinate all over you."
Oh my God. Just yesterday, the song Buddy Holly by Weezer was in my head, you know, as an earworm, and I couldn't get it out. Mm-hmm. I was mowing the lawn, but I was singing the version that Critic did where it was, ooh, I look just like O.J. Simpson.
Well, now, you remember, and speaking of 25 years ago, the parody song that ended up getting on Oprah and in court was the one that was for Shannon Faulkner, that to the tune Lola, and Critic was doing it on the parade grounds live at the Citadel, and then when Shannon Faulkner went on the Oprah Winfrey Show, they played a snippet of that song, and they actually used that song in court as evidence of a hostile environment in Charleston. Boy, that was a different time, wasn't it?
Well, let me completely exonerate you and I,
yes,
and throw Critic under the bus in classic Donald Trump fashion. We were on the right side of history there. Both you and I were like, why shouldn't
exactly
the Citadel allow women?
Yes.
Why, you know, it's a publicly funded school, blah, blah, blah. We were on the right side of history, but Critic was, you know, totally obnoxious. And we understand part of it was just to get on the news and be ratings whores, I guess, you know. And
it worked.
And it worked.
It worked.
I'll never forget. We had, and it was such a powerful moment on radio that the visuals I had in my mind matched exactly what was really going on. A critic sitting on top of the Rock and Roll Patrol singing that parody song, the Shannon Faulkner to the tune of Lola by the Kinks, and all the cadets singing along, and it was magically horrific.
That's a nice description there. So now, Adam, another thing, I mean, it's a 25-year anniversary again of the epic Wave Fest in 1994, because, I mean, it started out as Free Fall Jam, but that Wave Fest in 94, where just a few months after Hootie and the Blowfish had released Cracked Rear View, and they blew up, and there was Big Ed Todd and the Monsters and Cracker and Driving and Crying and the Meat Puppets. Oh, my God, I was on stage during the Meat Puppets set. That was incredible. And that is, in my opinion, and I think objectively, anybody who looks at it, that is the number one most historical day of music in the history of the city of Charleston.
Yeah, I think I would have to agree. The lineup was fantastic. The day was fantastic. The fact that Hootie brought so many people there that probably would not have otherwise listened to or been part of 96 Waves day.
Yeah, 70,000 people at Brindle Bank Park. That is impossible for people to fathom, and a lot of people don't even believe it, but fortunately there's photographic evidence of that unbelievable time.
Yeah, it was bigger than Trump's inauguration. And, we have evidence. But I have this memory, and I'm not sure exactly how perfect it is, but I remember me and my wife, Teresa, and you, we were sitting on top of the Rock and Roll Patrol, and I'm pretty sure Sony and Dean from Hootie were up there with us.
Well, I do remember hanging out with Sony and Dean in the tour bus before they went on stage, but that's about as far as I can go with that story, so...
Yeah, I don't. But I know there's a picture of us on top of the Rock and Roll Patrol with Mark Morgan, the aforementioned Mark Morgan, who later went to ESPN on top of the Rock and Roll Patrol. And I'm pretty sure Mark ended up underneath the Rock and Roll Patrol at that point. But man, such great stories.
Oh man, I mean, do you remember what our job was? Do you remember what our role was? I mean, obviously we were the morning show hosts, so but what our job, our role was for that WayFest that year? Do you remember?
I think. Just hang out with the artists and make sure they got to stage and we did the introductions on the stage.
Exactly.
5,000 people.
Yeah, we just wanted to make sure that they were properly ready to go on stage. And our job was to escort the bands to the stage and make stage announcements. And I'll never forget standing on that stage and leading about 70,000 people in the Cab Calloway Minnie the Moocher thing, where they're reciting back and forth, "Heidi, Heidi, Heidi, hi," and everybody says it, and all the boats in the river, and just the whole thing. That'll never happen again, and it's hard to believe it's been 25 years, and there's so many stories from that and from everything else. But yeah, I mean that was just a moment in time, no doubt about it.
Well, and also think about how hard it was to put that show on and how many things we had to do and how little issues there were. I've been to Lollapalooza. You've been to festivals. Mm-hmm. And anybody who's listening that has been to festivals, you know, these things are commonplace now and they've got a template for them and they still have issues. There's all sorts of, there's fights and there's drunkenness and there's, you know, people getting out of hand. And I think there were, 5 or 6 arrests, and they were all for stupid stuff. There were no fights. There were no idiots.
But remember what happened the next morning? The next morning, we show up on Monday morning after a triumphant, unbelievable rock and roll concert at downtown, and what was the news media talking about? Remember, there was the late Bob Knowles on Live 5 News, and all they could talk about was the slam dancing that was going on in the mosh pit in front of the stage. Right. And we're like, really? This is what you're focusing on? Really?
Well, so some kid got hurt, which does happen, and that was the focus of the stories. And I remember we had a war with Bob Knowles.
Didn't
critic challenge him to a fist fight at the Coliseum?
Well, we tried to set up like a celebrity boxing match between the critic and Bob Knowles, and Bob didn't want anything to do with that. And of course, critic would have done anything, so it didn't really matter. He hasn't changed that much either. But that was just there's so many stories and so many memories, and anybody who was there at that time. They've never forgotten it. I've had so many people already bring it up to me. And then it's the new people who've been here since then who are like, no way, no way. That didn't happen. And it did.
It did. And you're right. I don't think it could happen again quite that way. Now we do, you understand we sound like two old prattling men.
I know.
It's better and everything was better. Which is not true. There's so many things that are better now, but still, it's fun to reminisce.
Well, you know, and it set the groundwork for many things here in Charleston, for the beer and wine on Sundays, you're welcome, for the great music scene that Charleston has had really since the early 90s and all that was going on, and in many respects, the predecessor to what the Bridge is now. I mean, you got to believe that a lot of people who used to listen to the 96 Wave back then are listening to the Bridge now.
Yeah, definitely think if let's say we were never fired and everything.
Hey, I was fired first. Thank you.
Wave.
I was fired first.
Sure. Hey, I got fired 3 different times.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't know. I don't know who leads in that category. But the I think 96 Wave would sound like the Bridge now. I think there would be almost a complete parallel. And that's why every time I'm in town, I do love to listen to the Bridge and, you know, all the people that have put that together. It sounds like I think Wave would have sounded.
Well, you know, what's just crazy is just after all these years, and here we are 2019, we'll talk about the current. So many people still mention and still ask, still mention you, still mention us. So ask about us, and do you remember this? And they bring up stuff. Like, I had one the other day After we had Rob Fowler, the Wizard of Weather, on, and we were talking about him, he's such a great guy. I mean, he's just a naturally great guy. He's just the nicest guy as you can meet. Somebody actually sent me a text message after they heard me talking to Rob, and they said, "Hey, do you remember the thing that you guys used to do with Rob, where you would get him to read stuff in like street ghetto talk, and then you would have listeners call in to try to translate what he was saying in regular person talk? Remember that?"
I do. We were awful people.
Well, that was a different time. We're married with children now. I mean, one of your kids graduated from Embry-Riddle and is living up in Philly, and the other one's a senior at Embry-Riddle, the best engineering school in the world. So
yeah, that's I'm really proud of my kids. I'm very excited. It does make me feel old, but then again, sometimes I don't really feel that old. I mean,
no, it's the George Harrison quote about the body ages but the soul stays young, and you know, you and I still listen to a lot of great music. Current, we don't just listen to that stuff back then or whatever, but you know, we listen to it. It's just age is just a state of mind, and you know, the fact that that you're doing well there in Florida in St. Augustine Beach with your wonderful wife Teresa, who is a world class pastry chef. Oh my Lord! And and my son is, you know, 16 years old and a junior at Wando, which is unbelievable to think about. And you know, but I'll tell you that as many times as I've done different stuff, I mean, I don't think I've ever had more fun than what you and I did with Taylor and Todd in the mornings. And it's too bad that when we brought it back at the very beginning of this century, that we got neutered, or we would still probably be doing it right now.
Yeah, and that was all the potential that we had for bringing it back got kind of squeezed out, and that was a disappointing end. But we still had some fun stuff on that show, too.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we did. We, you know, that was I always said you were the person driving the car. I was riding shotgun, and Critic was in the back seat cracking us up. And you know, I just we laughed so much on the air, and we laughed twice as much off the air. And it's just, there's so many memories and so many great things that came from that I still, you know, just treasure the fact that it even happened. And that's why I always enjoy talking with you or hanging out with you, because you and I can sit here and riff on a million different topics, and I find it eminently interesting. I don't know if anybody listening to this Toddcast necessarily does, but hey, I do.
You bet. Well, one of the big differences, I think, between now and then, and this is good ways and bad ways, is we don't have, as a culture, as many shared common experiences as we used to.
That's right.
So, you know, way back when in the 70s and 80s, when we were kids, you know, there were only a few shows on network TV, and whatever happened on Happy Days or Laverne and Shirley or, you know, whatever it might be, a lot of people could share that and have commonality. Now we have way more access to information, but we're much more splintered. And I think that's starting to chip away at society. We see less commonality with each other. And that's what I loved back in those old days when we did stuff on 96 Wave. It mattered. A lot of people who were listening, we had a good synergy with the TV stations and local. You felt like you lived in this town and you were talking about this town, and we were all part of the town.
Yeah, and that's harder to do that. And our show and that station was such a part of the community. I mean, you had professionals driving their BMWs and their Corvettes or whatever, and they wanted a Wave bumper sticker on the back of the car. And you're right that nowadays we are so much more compartmentalized, and our lives are right there on the palm of our hand on this little phone. When in fact, there's so much more out there. Honestly, I mean, and without sounding anything other than honest, I feel honored that I was at the right place at the right time and had the chance to do that and have become a part of the collective memory of Charleston, just as you have been. And it blows my mind, because we were just having fun and we were just doing radio, but it became a lot more to a lot more people, and that's really flattering. It really is.
I told my kids a couple of years ago about one thing that really cemented how different things are now with radio than it was back then. I remember on the morning show getting ready to play Phil Collins In the Air Tonight. Mm-hmm. And I told everybody, I said, okay, if you're listening to 96 Wave, when the drum solo hits, if you can in traffic, do the air drums, because everybody does the air drums to the Phil Collins In the Air Tonight, right? The do 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 do. And I said, just look around while you're doing it and see if there's anybody else. And when that song ended, we were flooded with calls. People were like, oh my God, there were seven cars in the intersection and everybody was doing it. And give me a situation where that can happen now.
Now you're right. You're right. It's a totally different time, and it was such a special time here in Charleston. And I'm just curious, man, since we're sitting here, I mean, we'll just keep reminiscing. What the heck? What are the first couple of things, like two or three things just off the top of your head that we did that you still laugh at, that you still think about? I'm going to give you a couple of mine, and I might steal one or two of yours, but like I remember we did the blind melon toss. They threw melons off the top of Desperados on Rivers Avenue, and we blindfolded people when they did it. And if they hit the target, they could win tickets to see Blind Melon. I remember that. I remember we did the Pentathlon, where we broadcast live from Alex's Diner, and we set up a five-event competition to crown the best mom in Charleston. I mean, they did it right in the restaurant the whole time. Remember that?
I do. I remember this makes me laugh every time I think about it. The unbelievably insane but amazing artist, the late great Wesley Willis, at a bowling alley in West Ashley. We're broadcasting live. We said, hey Wesley, what song are you gonna play? He sets up with his keyboards, and if you don't know who Wesley Willis is, just Google it. Mm-hmm. And you'll really enjoy the story. And all these folks were waiting because we were taking their bowling lanes for their league. They were all upset. A bunch of senior citizens lined up angry as hell at us. And Wesley Willis starts banging out on his keyboard, and he played the classic, I Murdered Your Family. And we didn't know he was going to play that. And we're like, oh my God, I have never felt so proud and hated at the same time. It was the most bizarre, beautiful moment in radio. And I remember thinking, I'm doing this for a living?
Exactly. They're paying me to do this? Really? I mean, hey, remember we made national news when they shut down the Navy base in 93. And we got a couple of tons of nuts and screws. And we took it to Washington, D.C.
We got screwed.
That's right. It's nuts for closing the Navy base. We're getting screwed. So we took them to Washington, D.C. and dumped them on the mall and did our show live on the mall in D.C. And we ended up getting on the ABC Nightly News or whatever. And my mom said she was sitting in her chair watching the ABC News. And all of a sudden, there's a story about these two DJs out of Charleston protesting the Navy base closure. She's like she dropped her fork in her lap. She's like, oh, my God, that's my son. What are we doing here? You know, it's just there's so many stories like that. I'm like, remember we did that one of the stunts that we did where we like backward masked our voices for Halloween. How do we did we like write words backwards and then say them and then play the tape backwards so it sounded like it was weird forward, like the Twin Peaks voice or something?
We put in about 15 or 20 hours of stupidity to give maybe 6 minutes of fun on the radio. Worst ratio ever, but I still think about it. What we did is we said things we were normally going to say, flipped the tape over, listened to how it sounded backwards. We memorized how it sounded backwards, then recorded that and flipped it over so that it would be played forward.
That's so, in other words, stupid and crazy.
We did more work than the Beatles did on Revolution Number 9.
And how many times did we call people up across the low country and the critic would answer their phone because he'd be sitting in their bedroom or their living room and like, what are you doing there? What are you doing?
Right, and then nobody would believe us, and then he'd hand the phone to that person.
Oh, and then like remember the O.J. Simpson thing where we had the whole critic being chased around the low country, and we were doing like a slow speed chase in the Rock and Roll Patrol, and just, man, I mean, there's so many examples, and I didn't know if there was some that you could think of that I had forgotten about because we did so many of them.
And everybody played along. We had Leslie Lyles and Dan Ashley, the news anchors who went on to nationwide glory. Probably clipping that off their resume tapes that they played along with that nonsense.
Well,
but yeah, amazing.
I know it was just so much fun, and since I'm back doing the morning buzz on the bridge, and you know, it just has brought back so many memories, and like I said, so
Wait,
many
we're
people.
We're not even going to talk about Stunt Microphone, where we had Doc Rivers and New York Knicks dunking a microphone.
Oh my God, I'm so,
a basketball.
I'm so glad you brought that. A Stunt Microphone getting run over by a monster truck at the North Charleston Coliseum. Stunt Microphone jumping out of an airplane when I skydived on the air live and then threw up 500 feet off the ground. Stunt Microphone was getting dunked by the Knicks, and I forgot. Stunt Microphone was everywhere. I've had people bring that back to me, like, bring back Stunt Microphone. I think
for us going to the Final Four in Seattle and having coaches like Mike Krzyzewski and Denny Crum on the show and offering them strip club passes.
Because remember we got there and there was a strip club in Seattle in 95, the Final Four, and they were the home of the Texas style lap dance. And so Critic got all these cards, and so every time we had these coaches on, like Eddie Fogler and Roy Williams and John Chaney and Jim Boeheim, they would come on, and then at the end, Critic would say, I want to give you a free lap dance at the home of the Texas style lap dance, and oh my God. And then we went to Kurt Cobain's house, and we were standing at the end of the driveway, and this was, you know, not that long after he had killed himself, and we're recording
that by Courtney Love.
Yes, we were recording it live, and then all of a sudden, someone starts walking on the driveway at us, and we're like, "Oh my God, who is that? What is that?" It was Courtney. I mean, just and then you know all of those things. I feel very lucky, and I'm knock on wood. I mean, I feel very fortunate, and I feel fortunate that you've been a friend for that many years, and. You did a reading at my wedding, and you just have been around, and I've, you know, appreciated it more than I can say. And obviously, there's a lot of people who have listened to us over the years that they appreciate it, and they've never forgotten it. And so that's something that I'll treasure. So I just, you know, I appreciate everything that you and I did, and just hanging out with you and as a friend. And you know, if anybody wants to hear the Taylor and Todd show now, they're going to have to hang out in your backyard at the swimming pool and bring some beer.
That's right. A special exclusive show. Well, listen, the bridge is going to be better off because you've decided to come back, and it's going to be another chapter in a monumental history. So I'm really proud of you. I love that radio station. They do a great job, and it's exciting to have you on there and Critic. That's just crazy.
I know. It is crazy how everything kind of has come full circle to some extent. But, man, you are missed and you are remembered, and I look forward to seeing you again down in Florida or next time you come up here to Charleston. And just thanks for taking a walk down memory lane there. It's just with the memories that really will last a lifetime. But just thanks for everything there, Adam Taylor.
You the man. And in honor of Scott Hanske, hoot!